Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
My man, I got you.
That was the final product of a week's worth of trying to get Spencer to pronounce my name correctly. Apparently, Frank drove him crazy because it ended in that. And now it's an earworm for Frank because Frank was in here. If you don't know who I'm talking about, that's Frank Bullington. He is a bit of our – he's a creative consultant, I think I call him. I don't know what his official title is currently, but I call him our creative consultant. He's the mind behind bringing Spencer back. Some of the, let's just say, less than traditional radio rejoins you've heard, all Frank's idea. If you weren't sure about the why John and Lance are now common law married, that was a Frank idea, among other things. So – Frank came in here as I was starting my show and started singing that song because he had heard it so often, and now it's a thing. So that's thank you to Spencer for attempting to get the name right, and that's the final result as we start the second hour of the interlude. Messi's in front of me right now, at least that, well, that's not Messi, but no. A report on – certainly not. If that was Messi, Inter Miami would say, hey, we made a mistake.
That's Higuain.
Yeah, we've made a Gonzalo. Yeah, Gonzalo Higuain. That's what he's evolved into since his time playing in Europe. My question about the Messi thing is, MLS, and probably rightfully so, believes bringing Messi over is going to change the way people view the sport, as far as, at least view the league, as far as actually viewing it, because they have the deal with Apple TV. And you can sign up for that and get all the games, and it's a question of, was that beneficial from the league from the start to put it on a pay-per, like a streaming platform, and then throw on another price for people to actually get it. So you'd have to pay twice if you weren't an Apple TV subscriber. My question to you, Sean, is I know Messi is at a different level where people around the world would do it just to see Messi play, even if they have to suffer through, like, you know, the Dynamo versus DC United on a Wednesday night. They do have the package so they can see Messi when he does play. Is there a player in any sport that would get you to sign up specifically for a package? Like, that's what Messi will be for people in Europe and maybe even in this country. Let's say you didn't have the NFL package, but you were a fan of a local team, so you would get their games all the time.
Yeah.
Would you sign up to watch? Is there a player you would sign up to watch, just to watch that player because they're playing in a different place and you don't get to see them if you don't sign up for the package?
With the NFL, it's tough because it's like,
there's so much access.
Yeah, if it is like Pat Mahomes, or you know, it would be probably Pat Mahomes would be the answer. But then he has, what, like 6 primetime games?
Yeah, you're going to see
a year. He has probably another like 3 or 4 where they're the featured, you know, Nance and Romo broadcast on CBS. So, like, I already get most of it, and then the highlights for the rest of the game. So, they're probably – in the NFL, there probably isn't. In the NBA –
like, would you buy?
It would have to have been like 2010 LeBron, like with on the Heat. Like, I feel like that was a real needle mover for me.
I think so too. I imagine if it was like the Apple TV thing, like Jordan would have gotten that for people.
Yeah,
like
Jordan.
People would have signed up. Like, if they had the ability to watch all of the Bulls games when Jordan was in his prime,
maybe like Prime Shaq too could probably move some subscriptions.
I wonder if Messi has just superseded all those guys. I think the one, maybe LeBron, partly because of just hate, particularly at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one would have been great because it was everyone in the country had an opinion on it.
Yeah, one way or the other. Either you loved it or you hated it. And it's kind of where were becoming a fan of a – well, Jordan was the first, I guess. But as far as people following a player from team to team, like Jordan was the first guy I can remember that people were just fans of him, and then they became fans of the team he was on. Now, he never left any place until he retired. We know about the Wizards thing. But LeBron feels like the first guy where people decided that no matter where he played, I was going to root for that team. I'm not just going to root for the player. I'm going to root for that team he's on because people were LeBron fans, and now we have that across the league now where people strictly root for a player, and then they go root for they become a fan of the team that player is on. I just don't know if there's been anyone in recent memory that will have the impact that Messi has. I don't think there's anyone who would get me to sign up for a package that I wasn't already going to sign up for just because that player is now in the league. That is the type of global impact he has. And he may play tonight in a non-MLS game. I guess they're calling it a League Cup game. I don't know what competition that even is.
You're playing a Mexican side, so I think it's some sort of like continental cup thing.
Yeah, because they have Champions League where teams from North America play in that. Mexican team won. They beat either the Galaxy or LA, maybe LAFC in the title game this time around. Maybe Santos or Leon. I don't remember which team it was. But so he's going to be in one of those international tournaments, at least continental tournaments, and we'll see if he starts, if he gets minutes. But I think the expectation is that he will be available. We'll see if he actually plays, and we'll see what type of impact Messi has going forward, because it changed the way people view Inter Miami. The report was out. It's not even a report. You can just look at the numbers that Inter Miami's Instagram is now higher than the rest of the league's Instagram combined, I believe, and also higher than the Dolphins, the Marlins, and the Panthers combined. When you combine those three major sports in South Florida, Inter Miami's Instagram has now exceeded those because of Messi's appearance. And
combined is surprising. Yeah. I mean, the Marlins, the Panthers, like, I don't know how many people are following those accounts.
But. Sorry, all four. The Heat, the Marlins, the Panthers, and the Dolphins, all of them.
Wow. Yeah. I do wonder how much Messi is a needle mover in America among the like non-soccer fans or the soccer casuals, as opposed to like I feel like the hardcores are in. I feel like a lot of those the bump in following from Miami on the Inter Miami social media account is from like the Argentinian, the Spanish, yeah. But like domestically, is domestically among casuals. Obviously, he's a better player and like currently and all time than David Beckham when he went to LA Galaxy. But as far as like being famous to people who don't watch soccer in America, I think David Beckham was more famous than Messi in 2007.
Yeah, he had the Spice Girl, his wife, Victoria Beckham. Tori Beckham, I forgot what her name was originally. It was a Spice Girl, so there was an added
posh
level.
Spice.
Posh. Well, that's not her real last name.
Oh,
I mean what? Her,
oh, you meant her real name?
I didn't mean her nick. I didn't mean her Spice Girl nickname. I meant her Victoria. I have to look it up. Obviously, I meant that.
I honestly thought you were trying to think.
No, I knew she was posh. I didn't know what her last name was. I'll look it up. But yeah, he had that pop star connection as well. So it was more than just being an athlete, and he was an icon. You know, he had the movie made about him. So he kind of had superseded just being a sports icon. He became a pop star without the musical career, I guess. So the Messi thing, I'll be watching. I'll tell you right now, Messi being in MLS has not gotten me to sign up for Apple TV Plus.
No,
at least the MLS package. I have Apple TV, but it hasn't gotten me to sign up for the package. The MLS package.
Yeah, I'll watch when he plays on ESPN or ABC or Fox or whatever the streaming that I already have is. But as far as like driving me to sign up, I don't see that happening really.
Yeah.
Any realistic situation where that happens.
So this, that'll be the question. I'm sure as this continues, and particularly if he changed the fortunes of Inter Miami, because they are not a playoff team currently. He's not the only one who's come over. Busquets and Jordi Alba, some of his Barcelona teammates, are on the roster as well. So, and I read a story about how Inter Miami is making that work money-wise, where depending on if you're a designated player or not, it doesn't count towards your salary, which is kind of the reason towards their team salary cap. So it's kind of the reason why they can get all these guys and still make it work. It was very, if you like being an accountant, it would be something you'd be thrilled by. I kind of sift through it and kind of figured it out because I was interested. But hey, Inter Miami's making a play. Who's next? Who would be the next player? Who would be the next franchise to make a move like that? As Miami's a place about being loud and vibrant and making a splash, and Inter Miami has certainly done that. Thomas, we see you. You want to talk a little bit about Messi. We'll get to you on the other side. Anybody else wants to call in, you can certainly do that as well. With the number is 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. And if you want to tweet the show, at Sean Mapes, that's Sean spelled S-E-A-N-A Mapes, and then Del V2 is how you tweet at me as well. So we got a couple seconds to go, 45 minutes to go on the show. The Killer Bees are up next. It'll be Jeremy Branham out, so it'll be Patrick Creighton and Joel Blank. Who will be able to yell the loudest? I'm sure that'll be something that gets figured out. I hope what Joe should do is have a decibel meter in here and just see who wins. I'm sure there'll be one guy who reaches a jet engine status.
Like Seattle's home field, like the Seahawks home
field.
Yeah,
like when the sideline reporter's like, this is as loud as a jet engine, or this is loud as a rock concert. I wonder if one of those two reaches that level, or maybe they reach it combined. That's what you need to find out by listening from 12 to 3 to the Killer Bees. Thomas, once again, we'll see you. We see you. We'll get to you on the other side here on the interlude. Del, Sean, we'll be back.
Refurbishing the Veritex Community Bank Studios with high-quality sports knowledge and rapier wit. It's Del Olaleye and the Interlude.
Welcome back to the Interlude. If you want to call the show, see a couple calls up there, but if you want to call the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We talked quite a bit about Messi and his impact and what it might mean for the MLS here in this country. Thomas wants to talk about Messi. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, guys. I definitely had to jump in when we're talking soccer. That's not usual. I think they put themselves in a tough situation with the Apple subscriptions. But, I've read, I don't know how true they are, but I feel like there's a lot of teams reaching out to their NFL counterparts in the cities that are going to be hosting Inter Miami the rest of the season. So you're looking at moving into a bigger stadium, more people, more eyes on the product. Miami's making all these moves just to be, competitive back in the season with a bunch of old guys from Europe. But I mean, it definitely has to like grow, get eyes on the immediate game. I don't know what that means for long-term success of MLS in Miami, but I'll hang up and listen.
Hold on, Thomas, hold on. I was going to ask him if he had signed up or whether Messi would get him to sign up. The mentioning of playing in NFL stadiums is interesting because I wonder if only teams who have natural grass surfaces would be involved, because there are enough big city teams who would probably be able to secure a stadium and fill it up to 65,000-70,000 if Messi's going to play. But would field turf be something where the MLS says, no, we can't do that? We know it's a rule in international soccer, at least on the men's level. I know in the last Women's World Cup, or not the last one, but the one in Canada, they played on field turf, which was something the women did not appreciate because it would never be allowed for a World Cup in on the men's side for that. So I wonder if like he goes to see the Red Bull or NYFC plays in Yankee Stadium, but let's say they wanted to get that into the Meadowlands, or it's not even the Meadowlands anymore.
MetLife,
and they just put in a new field turf field. They wouldn't have the prep time to go put in a grass field, I would imagine. So Messi going to New York probably means he's playing in Yankee Stadium or Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, I do think it would probably depend on like very boring logistics like that, yeah. Where it's like you would think that if anywhere could pack out, 80,000 people to see Messi play MLS soccer, it would be New York. But then when you walk through the options, like, actually, probably can't. I saw something that every MLS team is going to change to natural grass at some point because of Messi coming over.
Yeah, because Portland and Seattle, because Seattle plays where the Seahawks play, they still have field turf. You have Portland, who I don't know if they've updated the stadium or one's coming, but I know they played in like this pseudo baseball field that they renovated for to fit soccer. And I think Toronto has grass, but I'm not sure. Does Montreal, have they switched over to natural grass? So there are some things in question where Messi's probably powerful enough to go, yeah, if I'm coming, I'm not playing on field turf. You guys better figure all that out.
That's the craziest part, is that probably was part of the negotiation, was like, I'm not playing on y'all's Mickey Mouse fields. Yeah. Like, give me real grass.
For the most part, MLS teams have their own soccer-specific stadiums, and they're generally all grass just because that's the surface that soccer should be played on. But, I mean, there are a couple still remaining. Like Seattle has – in Atlanta, they get great crowds, but they're both playing on field turf. So, like, they already packed the place in Atlanta, but Messi going to Atlanta, you would sell that place out, and they can't switch it over quickly enough. So he would be playing on field turf if they visited Atlanta. But I wonder how many games Messi would actually wind up playing on field turf in seasons going forward.
I was gonna say I'd bet that's the like whatever load management for Messi
is all of a sudden he doesn't play
road games on field turf.
Yeah. It is the boring logistics of it, but when you have a star like that and he's used to playing on, I mean, Thierry Henry had to play on field turf, so I guess they all had to do it. That's my phone. But I wonder when it becomes a thing where every stadium is required to have it. But if you're at the Atlanta United, I believe is what they're, are they AFC? Are they United?
Atlanta United.
They get great crowds, but they're playing in the they're playing where the Falcons play. So if those crowds remain large, why would they want to switch? But maybe they have a soccer specific stadium as a plan. I'm not sure. That's a lot of logistics for MLS. Well, let's get to Lonzo. He wants to talk a little bit about the Rockets. What's up, Lonzo?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, man. I just kind of figured out the solution to drive time. I think Dell should be on the White House. Let's go. Can we make this happen?
Well, it's the wheelhouse, not the White House. I mean, that may be a slip you did on purpose or just something that came out. It's the wheelhouse. The wheelhouse has had their own changes because Cody Stutes is choosing a different endeavor of his own accord. I do think it's funny that we always have to say, we didn't fire anyone. They're doing it on their own accord. So RJ back to Jacksonville on his own accord. Cody is going to launch a Texan-specific digital platform on his own accord. So I don't know what it'll be. But I believe he said something about or tweeted something about it coming out on Monday. So I think that might be when it is. So be on the lookout for that from Cody Stutes. But no, I don't know what the plan is for the Wheelhouse. I mean, it was already a 3-man show if you don't include Andrew, the producer, who certainly is a big part of that. You have Jake and Brad, and you have Andrew there as well. It may stay that way. I'm not sure. I don't make those decisions. I'm just here doing a job.
Yeah, Dell just got here. Why is he having to...
Yeah, why are you putting me in a spot where I have to talk about the moving around of all these pieces? I got nothing to do with that. That'll be a decision for people who want to make those decisions. I don't want to make them. But I appreciate the kind words, and I do think calling it the White House is funny.
Because I was like, oh, drive time. Oh, I see what he did there.
Yeah,
I see.
I do.
Because they're white.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all white.
It's four white guys.
Yeah. Now three.
Now three white guys.
And Jake is out today, so Joe George will do double duty. He'll help produce, I think, the first couple hours of the Killer Bees. He'll drive off the Sugar Land to host with Brad on the Wheelhouse. Andrew will be out there as well, I believe. So a lot of things moving around on a Friday in the summer. But, hey, we're still on the air. We still have you covered. So just stay tuned. I mean, you never know. Isn't that exciting? You never know who's going to be where.
I was thinking about that this week, because this week feels especially hectic with people moving around and hosts being out and stuff. I was like, yeah, it must be so interesting to just turn on your radio and be like, oh, Dell. Yeah. Dell in the morning. Now Dell at 10. Now Dell whatever.
Patrick randomly at 10 a couple days. I didn't know that was coming.
Patrick at 10. Now Patrick at
12.
At 12. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe Patrick at... at 7.
Yeah, sometimes he'll pull double duty. Like
yeah, so just stay tuned. We'll keep you entertained, hopefully, but I can't tell you who will be where on any given day. That's just how it's been.
I don't think Joe could tell you.
And Joe's the one who has to do all the scheduling.
Yeah, I don't think he could tell you.
Think about Joe's day. He got in here early as part of his job as an assistant program director. He will produce the Killer Bees at that as part of his producing job. He will rush out to Sugar Land to be with Brad, and then he will be part of 92.5 and 97.5 night out with the Space Cowboys as Jordan Alvarez is expected to play. So you could either go out there to see Joe, Brad, or just because you want to watch baseball and see Jordan Alvarez in a Space Cowboys uniform. So there's a lot to unpack out at Sugar Land. Go listen to those guys. They do a good job. Well, I say that. I've never heard Joe and Brad do a show before, so I'm just going to assume they'll do a good job because they're both talented individuals. I would go to break, but Sean's on the phone, and I don't want to put him through that. But on the other side, we will finally get to, unless you guys want to continue to call in the show, but we will get to the Josh Heupel sound talking about the University of Texas and how they compare to the University of Tennessee, because Texas, as we know, is a year away from joining the SEC, and that is a topic of conversation, despite the fact that they have a year left in the Big 12. We got a couple more things beyond that to get to the interlude. Del, Sean, we'll be back.
Refurnishing the Veritex Community Bank Studios with high-quality sports knowledge and rapier wit, it's Del Olale and the Interlude.
Welcome back to the Interlude. Couple more segments to go. And Tony wants to talk a little bit about something non-sports, which I always welcome. Secret Invasion. What's up, Tony?
Hey, man. I just want to say glad to hear you back on the radio, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on this Disney Plus series, Secret Invasion, and in particular, how long do you think Rhodey's been compromised lying up in this thinking?
If you don't know what he's talking about, it's a Marvel show on Disney Plus. It is about Nick Fury, and really, you'd probably have to watch Captain Marvel to have it have any resonance with you. It was a movie that wasn't reviewed all that well, but made a lot of money. It was okay. It was reviewed okay. It's not the worst of all the Disney / Marvel movies. It just wasn't, as the kids like to say, a banger. Although the kids don't say that anymore.
It was mid.
It was mid, the kids
would
probably say.
It wasn't bussin'.
Yeah. Yes, bussin'. But it made a lot of money, which is what Marvel and Disney care about. So if you watch that movie, you kind of understand what's going on. I think it's slightly above mid. There are moments when the actors get into it that they overcome some of the less than stellar material, which I enjoy. You got great actors. Olivia Colman's in it. I can't remember Grovik, the character who plays the villain's name, but he is really good in it as well. And you have Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. She's in it as well. There are plenty of actors who you would say, oh, they're maybe a little too big for this show, particularly for it to be on Disney Plus. And, of course, Samuel Jackson playing Nick Fury. I like it. I think it's missing beats. Some of the emotional beats aren't great. But as far as just a show you can watch on a Wednesday afternoon when you get off of work or whenever you get off of work, I'm good with it. I think the comic book part of it kind of gets in the way of some of the espionage stuff because you got to pay service to the comic book, and that probably affects the story in some way. If you want a more detailed review, you can go to Comicast. That is a podcast hosted by our very own Michael Carroll. He has in-depth reviews of the first four episodes of Secret Invasion. That is a podcast with a former producer here. I'm choking on water, apparently. Jong and Michael Carroll, Michael Carroll still works here. Jong used to be the producer for The Blitz. They co-host the Comicast, and it's a long-running podcast. They will talk about comic book movies, comic books, TV shows, all those genre shows that show up on the streaming services. So check it out if you want a more in-depth review of Secret Invasion. I think Tony said one other thing, but I got to talking and forgot. So I apologize for if you said anything else, Tony. But also, thank you for the kind words. So I'm in on Secret Invasion. Marvel's kind of got me no matter what. I'll give everything a chance. Not everything is great. I'm not that big of a fanboy. But I will say Secret Invasion, not bad. Certainly could be better.
Yeah, I watched the first episode, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this one a shot. It's also only six episodes, which makes it easier to go week by week because I'm pretty out on week-to-week shows at this point. It's like, just tell me when it's over. I'll you know, watch three in a night and then three in another night, or, you know, I'll bang them out, kind of binge them. But this one I've been watching week to week. And yeah, like you said, I think it's better. It's better than mid, but it's not like blow your hair back awesome. It is like a little bit like a team that has a lot of great players, but isn't coached very well.
Yeah.
Because there are times where it's just like, you know, Olivia Coleman just cooking for 5 minutes. Like,
and it's great. It's yeah. really good. And then there's a scene that takes you out of it. They're like the Celtics.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's a lot of cool step back jumpers from Don Cheadle, but how it all fits together doesn't. Yeah, but when isn't
it's
perfect
when it's closing time in the fourth quarter, it ain't great.
No,
much like the Celtics, all of a sudden got Jaylen Brown or Nick Fury forgets how to dribble with his left hand. That's what happens sometimes.
Marcus
in scenes.
Smart takes a couple ill advised shots.
Yeah, that's how it has been through. Oh, he asked me about how long he thinks Rhodey has been compromised. Oh boy, this is getting really nerdy for people who don't watch. I mean, I would say go watch Comicast because I do serve an audience beyond Tony who wants to talk about Secret Invasion, because I would get into it, but even I know I'm going to lose people if I start to discuss how long a character maybe not a lot of people have heard of has been you know, impersonated by an alien. So watch the show or listen to Comicast. They'll get into that. Michael Carroll and John will get you all squared away. So I appreciate the call, Tony, but even I won't go that nerdy.
Yeah, let's we have some limits on our show.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean.
But speaking of giant nerds, here's Josh Heupel talking about it.
Well, that is a nice segue. Josh Heupel, the current coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, wasn't a guy people were high on, wasn't great at UCF. People felt like that program had fallen off after Scott Frost took them to high heights. Scott Frost took the Nebraska job and has subsequently been fired. Josh Heupel still has his job at Tennessee and had a really good year last year with Hendon Hooker being the quarterback. We'll see what the transition is like with Joe Milton at quarterback if he keeps that job throughout the year. But this is Heupel being asked by a Texas reporter about Texas entering the SEC.
Travis Daly with OrangeBloods.com. With Texas coming into the league now, which school has the real claim to being able to call itself UT?
There's only one real UT. One right shade of orange.
That is what you do when you're ingratiating yourself with the fan base, and also because you're a former Oklahoma player. You completely dismiss Texas. And honestly, it's a trash question, because what is he going to say? He's not going to acknowledge Texas as being the real UT. The only answer is Tennessee. I mean, I don't. What did he think Heupel was going to give him a very nuanced answer? Yeah. Well, now that you actually asked me, I have some thoughts.
Well, if you go back.
Yeah,
he was 1828.
Yeah, if we start to talk about which university was actually established first and who adopted the UT logo first, then it's this. No, he's going to give you the answer that he would give at the rubber chicken circuit when he's going around the state of Tennessee getting people excited about Tennessee football. It's not a great question. It's an obvious answer, and the answer is Texas barely exists. Tennessee is the real UT, and as he said, the only right shade of orange is the Tennessee orange, not burnt orange. That is Texas's color. So that's Josh Heupel at Media Day. Was prompted by a question that deserved the answer it got. And that is the Orange Bloods contribution to Media Day. That question.
That now makes me think of like what Orange Bloods was like doing there. But I guess the answer is asking questions like that. Just like, asking questions about like, hey,
what do you think about Texas?
What about Texas? And yeah. Which is a funny thing that it's like, yeah, it's just gonna turn into a layup line against like everyone getting their little zingers off of like,
yeah, I don't know why he
go 7-5 here too.
I'm not sure why he wanted to turn Texas into Frederick Weiss and have everyone Vince Carter them. I'm not sure why that's what he wanted to have happen, because they're not here. They don't have to play them yet. They can say whatever they want about Texas because they're not even considered an official member, right? I'm not sure how that works, but they're still in the Big 12 now, so how about you just get the lay of the land and stay quiet? I know you want to figure out how things work, but I think for the first time ever, they're going to move Big 12 Media Day to the state of Texas. I mean, SEC Media Day to the state of Texas
it's
anyway.
It's going
to
be in Jerry World next year.
Yeah, I saw someone go, wait, how long has A&M been here and you guys didn't do that? But now that Oklahoma and Texas are in the conference, we're going to move it to a location more central and helpful to them. A&M's like, we didn't even want these guys here in the first place. You ignored our plea to keep them out, and now you're moving it to the state of Texas. It just speaks to what A&M has actually thought of in that conference. That the minute the two bigger names from the Big 12 make their appearance, hey, we'll do things for them, but not for you. We don't care about you. Hey, you want to change that status? Go beat some people more consistently.
I do wonder, and we had someone ask this who called in, didn't want to get on the air with it, but they asked about what happens to Longhorn Network now, basically. Does it get folded into
SEC Network?
Does it just close down? I think I have the answer, but I mean, obviously, I could get a much clearer answer. I could just ask some people.
No, we don't do that. We're here for reckless speculation.
I literally have people I went to school with that work for Longhorn Network. I guess I could send some texts and
get
a straight answer. But let's just speculate. What happens to Longhorn Network?
Whew. I don't think the SEC likes the idea of someone being separate from them.
Equal.
Well, certainly in that part of the world. Nice. That's a nice one by you. Actually, maybe the best one all week long. Good. I don't think they like the idea of a school not being under the fold of the SEC, where, sure, you're in our conference, but you have this own little thing you do, because they don't have to bend the knee to Texas. They're the SEC. They don't have to do that like the Big 12 did to try to keep the conference alive. I feel like that thing's going to go away. It's relatively soon.
I think it stopped showing up on your DirecTV or whatever. Whoever even carries it, honestly. I think it stopped shows up as a channel. But I feel like a lot of the production,
the content.
And the stuff and the content stuff just gets kind of folded in
probably
to SEC Network, and it's just a studio for when they have their coach's show or whatever.
Yeah, I could see that stuff happening. Like that. It may no longer be a separate entity, but people might be able to keep their jobs because they're producing Texas content, and Texas is one of the bigger names in the conference. I could see that happening because I went to Texas A&M for when I was working with the bench, and they have their own studio in there where they produce their content. I imagine that might become something where instead of having Longhorn Network logos everywhere, it just says SEC Network, and they create stuff out of there. So that could be a way where people don't have to lose their jobs. Although we know ESPN doesn't mind separating people from paychecks. They've been doing that over the last couple months now in a rather startling fashion. We got one more segment to go here on the interlude. If you want to call in, you can still get in, 713-780-3776. As you can tell, you want to call about Messi, you want to call about Secret Invasion. I mean, I'm watching Hijack on Apple TV. Really good show with Idris Elba. You want to talk about that? I don't mind. We got one segment to go here. We'll also get into what I have talked about a little bit earlier in the show. When do you interrupt someone when they're texting you and it's clear they're texting the wrong person? I want to get Sean's opinion on that, because it's happened to all of us. But this one was one where it was so rapid fire, I couldn't get a text in. We'll talk about that on the other side. And a couple other things before we wrap it up here on the interlude. That's Sean. I'm Dell. We'll be back.
Refurbishing the Veritex Community Bank Studios with high-quality sports knowledge and rapier wit. It's Del Olaleye and The Interlude.
Welcome back to The Interlude, one final segment. Speaking of refurbishing, if you are on Twitch, if you look in the background, you'll see all these Houston legends and their, well, not the legends themselves, but their jerseys are up. These just went up. You've got, well... I don't know why O.J. Simpson and Michael Vick are up. I did not notice those two, let's just say, infamous people all have their jerseys up in – that's Frank's doing. But we do have some actual Houston legends up. You have Earl Campbell, Olajuwon, and Nolan Ryan, and then you also have O.J. and Michael Vick. A signed O.J. jersey. How old is that thing? That there's a signed Bills O.J. Simpson jersey up.
Oh, yeah. He probably
did signings.
Yeah, he definitely did signings.
People are still...
When he was living in Florida? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's kind of how he actually got sent to jail.
Yeah.
Because of stuff like that. I just wanted to get my stuff back. Well, you're broken.
So I guess in a certain way, it is pretty... Because that's like, what, 15 years now? 20 years now?
Yeah. Yeah.
When he was in Florida.
I feel like we have the Legends Wall and the in the Infamous Wall. There needs to be a Deshaun Watson jersey here.
Yeah, I'm sure someone has a Watson jersey that we can use.
And these are all signed, so I think that's part of the deal, that they've all been signed.
Oh, I just noticed they're all signed.
So maybe if there's a Deshaun Watson signed jersey. I'm trying to think of who else could go up on the Infamous Wall.
I can ask Paul if he has his Aaron Hernandez jersey signed.
Yeah, I think that should be what we do, just to lean into the memorabilia thing. We have the Wall of Greatness and the Wall of Infamy. We'll have two walls. So
get an Altuve jersey or something, and then also a murderer.
A murderer or a felon's jersey on this wall. Shout out to Frank Bullington for getting that done. I didn't notice that until just now. He has his Wall of Infamy, and he's got a couple jerseys up. Surely that wall could do with a couple more. Now, I mentioned to Sean that I wanted to know how he handled something. So I got texted by an intern because she heard about a new role I'm going to have here. So she just wanted to say hello and say, okay. And that's wonderful. She just wants to introduce herself through a text. So she says hello, and I respond back with hello. And then there's just this cascade of texts that have nothing to do with me, because there's no way she's already this familiar with me that she's just going to send me texts about things that I have no opinion on. It was very wholesome. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like, oh, this is a real private conversation. I need to jump in here. But once I saw the first one, I thought, okay, she's going to notice that she's sending it to the wrong person. Then there are three more. And I was like, okay, I got to get in here. I got to get in here. But, you know, the fingers of youth, she was very quick with the texting. And I didn't get my message in time until I hit send to the final message that goes, oh, sorry, I realize I'm talking to the wrong person. Have you ever had that happen to you where it was a little less than wholesome, where you're like, ooh, you're just telling me things you shouldn't?
I've had like a stray text or two where I'm like, this is not meant for me, from someone that's like, I guess, in my life, so to speak, someone who like I have some sort of like texting conversation with, where then you get like a random one where I always like have to stare at it because I always have the like, wait, is something wrong with me? Like,
I not remember something?
Did I get hit in the head and I just don't understand this? Like, I don't know what's happening, but I haven't had anything like that where it's like rapid fire. This intern's probably airing out all sorts of,
thankfully it wasn't that, because then it becomes Delalay, a new hire, gets into an inappropriate texting conversation with an intern within minutes of her reaching out. Thankfully, this is what I was fearing of, that I was going to get a message that I couldn't back away from. So I was rushing. And like, how did you let her get five in before you even responded? I was like,
check the time. Check the time. It was too quick.
Yeah, I was trying. And thankfully, it was all just, look, I don't want to say what it was about, but it was nothing big. It was nothing big.
Yeah, it was
thankfully
like boring.
Yeah, it was stuff. It was stuff she would talk. I think she was talking to her mom. At least she thought. So I guess she had how it goes. She was having a conversation with her mom. I responded, and then she just automatically flipped to me. So thankfully it was that. But I did have this fear, like, oh crap, this is already an HR violation before I'm officially back.
I will say I have had a situation where I get added into like a group, like a group message that is like very clearly a family that's all like wishing different people happy birthdays or like happy New Year's and stuff. I don't know if it's the same family, because I obviously did not save these people's numbers or anything. But there's a couple weeks where I was in like two or three different random group messages with like people sending not the emojis, but the ones that like you can make look like you know, whatever those are called. And they were like sending those and stuff, being like, happy graduation to so-and-so. And it's just a bunch of numbers that I don't know. Yeah. And I was like, do I just leave the group? And then I left the first group, and then it happened again, because they probably just added me to like a different group where I was like, hey, who's all going to the baby shower or whatever? And so I just individually went in and just blocked all their numbers. And hopefully that doesn't cause too much strife with whatever family I got added into.
Yeah, and today I just got a message from someone, just said hello. Like, we've never had a conversation before. I don't know whose phone number this is. It's a New York phone number, and all it was hello. And I have not responded because I don't think I want to be involved.
No, that seems like it's nefarious.
Yeah, so just a hello. And it's like a Google number, too. It's not even a real
number.
So I'm not even going to respond to that. But to that intern, because I'm not going to even say your name because it's not really relevant to the story, I'm glad the errands that you were able to complete got done. And thankfully, that was all you were discussing, because I did not want to have a conversation very early on about why didn't you stop? I'm sorry. I didn't know.
You get called into the office.
Yeah. Laura's like, okay, we just finished the hiring paperwork. Now we got to do the firing paperwork. Thankfully, that did not go down. But hey, just she wanted to say hello and welcome back. And I was like, hey, hi. And then all the other stuff happened.
I will say that she's much more – I don't know.
Proactive.
I wouldn't have done it. Internship.
I would never done it.
I never texted you once when I was an intern.
No, I wouldn't have thought to text anyone and go, "Hey, welcome."
I'll see you when I see you.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever I'm on the schedule and you're there, we'll say
and
hello.
I'll stick out my hair. Hey, nice to meet you. But the proactive nature of that. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Much respect for the other stuff that were errands that you got completed. That's all I'll say, because not really anyone's business. I just wanted to tell that story. Dustin, who listens to the show, we were talking about movies, so he was talking about the best place to see Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer, one of the big movies of the summer, along with Barbie. You all know about Barbenheimer. He says, getting a lot of questions, best place to see Oppenheimer, so here you go. IMAX Film, 1570. In Texas, there are only two projectors, San Antonio and Dallas. I guess he's talking about the IMAX. 70mm non-IMAX in Houston. AFC Gulfpoint 30 is the only one I can find. Laser IMAX or Dolby Cinema Digital IMAX. He's ranking how you should watch this movie.
Oh, okay.
And so I guess number one is IMAX Film 15x70, but you have to go to San Antonio or Dallas. That's kind of out of the question, although I am driving to Sugar Land, so it feels like I'm halfway there. Anyway, 90mm, non-IMAX in Houston, AMC Gulfpoint 30 is the only one you can find. So, and Laser IMAX or Dolby Cinema Digital IMAX is 4. So if you're trying to rank the best way to see IMAX, go to at Dustin Bennett 76, he gives his opinion. He has some expertise in that, so check it out. If you really want to see Oppenheimer the best way you possibly can. And that'll kind of wrap up the week for us. Paul Gallant will be back on Tuesday. Is Patrick doing the show on Monday? I have to look at the grid.
I was definitely added on some sort of email or a grid where I should know the answer, but yeah. I don't. I'll be here with a host.
Yes, and then Paul Gallant will return from his extended time away from the station. A lot of things have happened since Paul decided he didn't want to work here anymore. He does. He just wanted to take some time off. But a lot of stuff is happening. More stuff will happen on Monday. I appreciate everyone tuning in, listening, tweeting, and the calls today. Thank you very much. Sean, want to thank you. And also Joe, who was here for a day as well. But Sean has been my producer in this time slot for most of my time. I want to thank him for doing a great job and being someone to just throw some stuff off of and have a conversation with. And Joe, thank you as well. Coming up next is the Killer Bees with the aforementioned Joe George, Patrick Creighton, and Joel Blank. And then you'll hear Joe with Brad Kellner out at the Space Cowboys Constellation Field. They're going to do a show from 3 to 6, and then Space Cowboys will play. And if you go out there, you'll see some of us. But more importantly, Yordan Alvarez is going to play. So if you want to see a major leaguer in Constellation Field or on Constellation Field in Sugar Land, this is your chance. Go out there and see us. If you type in the code, is it ESPN? You get it $9.75 for a ticket. So not only do you get to see Yordan, you get to see him at a discount. I'm done for the week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in, chiming in, and all those other things. The Killer Bees are up next here on ESPN 97.5.